My lovely prey, I'm a cliche. By Chronic Angel. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. The feeling of taking control of someone else's mind is intimately familiar to Vriska. It makes her heart race with equal parts exhilaration and fear. Fear of herself and what she's capable of all those dead trolls who'd tormented her all those sweeps ago, of her mother. Exhilaration at getting to be the one in control for once, at remembering just how powerful she is, at seeing Kanaya on her knees. This is what she wants, Vriska reminds herself, feeding the thought into Kanaya's mind at the same time. Should I be rough with her? Terezi asks, grinning from ear to ear. If she shares any of Vriska's hesitation about the situation, she doesn't show it. That's not really shocking. Vriska has always been a better actress than Terezi. Better at pretending she's all right with the situation when she isn't. But Terezi is far better at compartmentalization. Vriska makes Kanaya's head jerk in a nod. I think she wants you to, she says, injecting her voice with extra pep. Well, then we'd best give the lady what she wants, Terezi replies gleefully. She takes a step forward and runs her fingers through Kanaya's hair a couple of times, looking almost like she's petting her. Until she grabs a fistful and yanks her head back, Vriska can't and doesn't want to stop the pained groan Kanaya lets out at that. Why don't you be a good girl and open your mouth for me? With only a gentle nudge from Vriska, Kanaya parts her lips and looks up at Terezi with a pleading expression. Even with her fangs sunken into Kanaya's mind, Vriska can't entirely tell whether she's pleading for Terezi to stop or to keep going. She wants this, she reminds herself again, swallowing hard in the attempt to swallow down her guilt. Terezi lets go of Kanaya's hair and strokes her fingers down her cheek. The touch seems loving, and Vriska can briefly take a breath and remind herself that Kanaya and Terezi love each other. Terezi wouldn't hurt her, not seriously, not in ways that they hadn't already discussed. It still makes her stomach turn a little. When Terezi grips Kanaya by the chin, two fingers shoved into her mouth to hold her tongue down.
My, what sharp teeth you have,
Terezi teases, flashing a grin that shows off her own shark-like teeth.
You're not going to bite me, are you?
She adds, just as teasing. I'm not going to let her bite you, Pyrippi, Vriska says, putting on a familiar tone like this entire situation is beneath her. Terezi keeps grinning down at Kanaya, her free hand creeping down toward the waistline of her pants.
Oh yes, what a good girl you're going to be for me, Kanaya,
Terezi coos, pushing her pants down around her thighs. Her boxers are still there, though, and there's a damp teal patch spreading in front of her growing bulge. What's the matter, Pyrippi? Vriska teases, because it's easier to focus on Terezi here. She can't use her powers on Terezi, even if she wanted to. Are you getting nervous? You gonna back out? Terezi doesn't seem remotely bothered by her mockery.
I want Kanaya to be the one to undress me. I want her to prove how bad she wants my bulge.
Technically, Vriska thinks she's the one undressing Terezi. She's just using Kanaya to do it. It doesn't prove that Kanaya wants anything. She does want this, she pointedly reminds herself again, bringing Kanaya's hands up to hook on the waist of Terezi's pants as easily as if they were her own. She can practically feel the fabric underneath her fingertips. When they reach the floor, Terezi steps out of them, moving that little bit closer to Kanaya. Terezi pulls her fingers out of Kanaya's mouth and moves them under her chin, thick globs and thin strands of saliva trailing between them, using those fingers under her chin. Terezi tilts her head up until they're making eye contact, golden yellow and deep jade meeting solid, brilliant red. She might be imagining it, but Vriska swears she sees Kanaya trembling.
You want it?
Terezi says. Vriska makes her nod again.
Show me.
Vriska takes a deep breath. As she brings Kanaya's hands up to hold Terezi's hips, she reminds herself that it wouldn't be this easy if Kanaya didn't want it. Kanaya is too smart for Vriska to take control of her mind by force, and she knows her too well to not realize when it's happening. She tries to think of it as them leaning forward, until Kanaya presses her mouth up against the teal patch in Terezi's boxers.
Fuck, that's a good girl,
Terezi sighs, stroking her fingers through Kanaya's hair again. It looks and sounds far more affectionate, more within the realm of what they usually do, and Vriska is able to let out a breath of relief. Kanaya mouths at Terezi through the fabric of her boxers, and Terezi lets out a throaty, breathless chuckle.
You really do love your fabrics, don't you, Kanaya? She says, half teasing and half amused,
Like she just thought of the joke and is still laughing at herself, which Vriska sure is exactly what's happened.
All right, Kanaya. You can take them off.
The boxers come off easily. So easily Vriska hardly even has to think about it. And then Teresi's bulge is writhing in the air, half unsheathed and glistening with teal genetic material. Vriska can't help licking her lips, even though she's not the one who's going to be taking it in her mouth. She's just going to be taking it in someone else's mouth. She drags Kanaya's tongue along the exposed length of Teresi's bulge, which naturally has another inch wriggling free from its prison. She presses a kiss against the tip, and then trails kisses back down the length again before wrapping her lips around the base, lapping at the barely exposed slit of Teresi's sheath. Teresi moans immediately, her grip on Kanaya's hair visibly tightening.
Kanaya!
Teresi moans, arguably breaking character, since it sounds nothing but enamored. Kanaya responds with a little sound, somewhere between a hum and a moan, one which Vriska doesn't have to make her make. Well, Vriska doesn't have to make her do any of this, but that's what's supposed to be thrilling, right? It's about ceding control. That was how Kanaya had explained it to her. Kanaya's lips and tongue start to work at Terezi's sheath with Vriska's guidance, and Terezi is quickly reduced to gasps and moans with each delicate touch against the sensitive area. It doesn't take very long at all to get the rest of her bulge to unsheath, slick and writhing. Vriska finally has Kanaya turn her head to put her mouth on it after it smacks against her cheek, leaving behind a thin layer of sticky teal on her skin. Oral sex is not natural for trolls. It's an extremely vulnerable position to put oneself in, with another troll's teeth latched around one of the most sensitive parts of your body, not to mention how uncomfortable it is for the one giving it, with a prehensile tendril squirming around in their throat. It is either a sign of utter trust and devotion, or a sign of utter domination and control. And this is why Vriska can remember the dawning sense of horror she'd felt reading that entry in her ancestor's journal, the one that described a position so much like the one she's in now, but damn, does Kanaya look so good doing it. It's complicated. The mix of guilt and arousal stirring in the pit of Vriska's stomach as she watches Kanaya working her way down the length of Terezi's bulge. She's so enamored with the sight that it's almost enough to forget that she's the one doing it. Almost. She can still feel Kanaya's mind at the edge of her own, though, almost entwined with each other. It's a different sort of intimacy than the bondage that Teresi loves so much, but it feels rather similar to having Kanaya all tied up and looking at her with pleading eyes and squirming into her touches rather than away from them. When she's worked her way all the way down to the base of Teresi's bulge and Vriska can see the way it squirms in Kanaya's throat, she holds her there for a second to let her adjust to the feeling. Enjoy it. It's a lot to take all at once. Vriska knows from experience.
You're so obedient, Kanaya.
Teresi praises, her voice still a bit high and breathless. Kanaya's cheeks flush a little darker, like the praise is somehow more salacious than anything else they're doing at the moment.
And you look so pretty with your lips around my bulge, she adds.
And Vriska finally lets Kanaya start to pull away for breath. She doesn't come all the way off, though, pulling about halfway up before she starts to eagerly sink down again. They don't move at a fast pace. They don't have to. Teresi's bulge really does most of the work on its own, squirming around in the tight confines of Kanaya's throat, which squeezes down on it at all sides. Vriska has Kanaya bob her head so she can come up for air every once in a while, but for the most part, sex between trolls doesn't involve much movement. Teresi's fingers are still curled tight into Kanaya's hair, like she's preparing for Kanaya to try to pull off the rest of the way at any moment. Even if their assault were the actual reality of the situation, Vriska wouldn't let that happen, and given that it's not the reality of the situation, she knows that Kanaya isn't going to struggle against either of them anytime soon. That thought is a little bit soothing. Outside of the guilt, still clawing viciously at her insides, the hard part of watching this for Vriska is that she's not getting any stimulation yet. Obviously, Teresi's got her bulge down Kanaya's throat, so she's getting all the stimulation on it that she could ask for. Kanaya's bulge and nook may be ignored, and behind her skirt, Vriska can only imagine how much it must be squirming and how her genetic material must be dripping down her thighs because she can't see anything. But she's still the one who asked for this whole roleplay scenario in the first place, so she must be getting some satisfaction out of it. But Vriska is doing all of the mental labor of giving Teresi head, while her own bulge is trapped, untouched, in the confines of her jeans. She's out of practice, so it's not as easy as it should be to reach down and fumble with the fly of her pants while still maintaining a mental hold on Kanaya. It's a little easier because she's not actually fighting against any resistance from the other troll like she normally would be. But she still struggles with the button for longer than she'd like to admit to pop it open, and she swears under her breath while she does. In the corner of her eye, she can see Terezi's smirk widening.
Oh, are the pants coming off? You're getting off on watching this, aren't you, Circuit?
I know you can't see her face, but that pathetic expression is pretty damn satisfying, Vriska counters immediately. Terezi laughs while Kanaya makes a soft sort of whining noise low in her throat, while Vriska has her pull up for air again. It's easier to peel off her underwear than her jeans, although they're so soaked they're practically glued to her skin. Once her bulge is free in the air, Vriska can't help a soft sigh of relief. She moves a hand down, and it curls her under fingers eagerly. She does what she can to stroke the length of her bulge, but it's difficult when it's writhing so desperately. Wanting the way Kanaya's throat bulges with every bend and twist of Terezi's length doesn't help either, and Vriska finds herself struggling to stay up on two legs. This situation would be far easier to deal with if she could sit down.
You better be close, Pirate.
Vriska grunts, trying and failing to keep the desperation out of her voice. She's too breathless, and she knows Terezi can hear it. That's probably why she grins so wide when she says,
"You'll get your turn. I know you can be more patient than that."
"I'm just saying I didn't sign up to be in the cuck chair," Terezi cackles at that. And Kanaya makes another muffled whining sound low in her throat. Vriska responds by picking up her pace, and she's in a good position to sync up the strokes of her hand around her bulge with it, since she's the one who's actually in control of the pace in the first place. It means that she winds up favoring the sort of fast, frantic pace that she tends to prefer over the long, languorous strokes Terezi likes.
"Vriska, slow down!" Terezi huffs.
She doesn't acknowledge Kanaya at all. Like their shared mates, but is nothing more than a toy Vriska is using to pleasure her, and Vriska can't help but shudder.
"Sorry," she breathes,
meaning it more than she wants to, though most of it isn't directed towards Terezi. She takes a deep breath and peels her hand away from her bulge. Although with a mind of its own, it tries to coil tighter around her fingers and hold it there. She'd laugh at herself if she wasn't depriving herself of her own pleasure by doing this, but she knows she'll get hers soon. She just has to attend to Terezi first. With a second deep breath, she refocuses on Kanaya dragging up Terezi's length at a glacial pace. She pulls back until only the tip of Terezi's bulge is still in Kanaya's mouth, and she can imagine it twisting and twining desperately with her tongue, the closest thing to another bulge it has to grab onto. The thought makes her own squirm even more desperately, dragging along the length of her own thigh in search of anything it can wrap around or push into. Her next deep breath is a bit ragged, and she opens Kanaya's mouth a bit wider to let Terezi's bulge start squirming down her throat again, while she bobs her head back down. It's not long before Vriska can hear Terezi's breath hitching in a familiar way, can see her fingers tightening their grip on Kanaya's hair, preparing herself, Vriska is sure, to shove Kanaya's face away on the off chance that she doesn't manage to pull off in time. Vriska doesn't even want to imagine trying to swallow down a whole load of genetic material, although she's sure some sick fuck out there is probably into that.
"I'm close,"
Terezi breathes in warning, and Vriska can't help a smile. "I know," she replies, with a hint of a teasing edge. If the teasing bothers Terezi, it doesn't bother her enough to distract her from her impending orgasm, and Vriska sees her hips starting to twitch, and the slight bulge in Kanaya's throat seemingly twitching to match it. Vriska licks her lips. With expert timing, she manages to pull Kanaya all the way off the length of Terezi's bulge just in time for Terezi to dump her whole load on her face. Vriska almost cringes. It looks like someone has dumped about half a bucket of genetic material onto Kanaya's head. Thick, sticky teal clumps in her hair and eyelashes, coats her skin, and spills down her chest to coat her cleavage and the fabric of her low-cut top.
"Fuck. Are you okay?"
Terezi mumbles, briefly breaking character.
"She's fine,"
Vriska insists. Partially because she's still got her own bulge writhing against her leg, and partially because she's trying to convince herself that it's fine, especially because it won't be long before she's doing the same damn thing. She does loosen her hold on Kanaya's mind, though, and finds that there's still no resistance, although Kanaya's hands come up to wipe at her face without any guidance from Vriska. Terezi steps back and then turns to slip out of the room without another word, and Vriska doesn't ask about why. She just needs to get this over with already. Vriska steps closer to Kanaya, licking her lips. It's an enticing image, Kanaya looking up at her with wide, almost pleading eyes, Terezi's genetic material still coating her face. She reaches down to stroke her fingers through Kanaya's hair, pushing a longer strand behind her ear and coating them with sticky tea in the process. Don't worry, sweetheart. She wants it to be true, although she hardly has much choice in the matter. Sometimes she thinks about what it would be like if trolls could willfully control the movements of their bulge the way they can with some of the more expensive toys on the market. She guesses it would be a distraction, though, from getting to see the look in Kanaya's eyes as she stares up at her, a hint of hunger betraying how much she really does want this. She brings Kanaya to her, rather than stepping forward, watching as her mate Sprit leans onto her hands, which puts her on all fours. She's still got her hand in her hair, but she's not holding it, just threading her fingers through Kanaya's shorter locks to the perfect length to get a handful of when she wants it, but right now, she knows she doesn't need it. With a teasing smirk, she uses her free hands to beckon Kanaya further with one finger before she makes her lean forward. At this point, Vriska's bulge is squirming at full length, like it's desperately reaching for Kanaya's mouth, likely just moving toward the nearest source of heat. When Kanaya's lips part for her, Vriska leans forward enough to let the first inch or so of her bulge squirm into Kanaya's mouth, and she moans as it twines with Kanaya's tongue, just as she suspected Terezi's must have earlier. It doesn't leave her with much patience for the slower pace she was watching Kanaya and Terezi move at earlier. But she uses the little self-restraint she has right now to keep herself from shoving her length down her mate Sprit's throat and hurting her. It's easier to keep Kanaya still than her bulge, though, so she makes sure Kanaya sits perfectly still, practically frozen, and she slowly inches forward so more and more of her bulge slips into her mouth and then down her throat. Vriska's bulge is smaller than Terezi's, at least, although she thinks that must be true of most trolls, given just how big Terezi is, which means she can worry a little less about her mate Sprit actually choking on it. She can't be entirely free of concern, though, as she can feel Kanaya's throat squeezing around the length of her bulge, and she lets out a slow breath. "Damn, you feel good," she murmurs. Kanaya makes a throaty noise that might be a chuckle, but it causes two things to happen in rapid sequence. Vriska feels the vibration around her bulge and moans, and her bulge tries to twist into the stimulation, making Kanaya choke. "Fuck," Vriska breathes, and she gets halfway to sorry before she remembers what they're doing here. Instead, she swallows hard and murmurs, "So good." Kanaya makes more of a whiny noise at that, which isn't nearly as stimulating, but it's still more than Vriska wants to give her right now. She tightens her grip on Kanaya's mind again, keeping her quiet as well as still now. One hand still buried in her hair while she rocks her hips into her face. She still has to go slower than she normally likes so she can focus on reeling her bulge in a little bit. But there really isn't much she can do. The nice thing about being in the metaphorical cuck chair, she guesses, is that it had already worked her up plenty watching the two of them. Not to mention the blurred lines between making Kanaya fuck Terezi and doing it herself. Basically, it doesn't take nearly as long for Vriska to get close as it did for Terezi. She's panting and weak in the knees, and she's barely managing to keep her hold on both Kanaya and her bulge, the latter of which she barely had a hold on in the first place. "Need you to do something for me, pretty girl," Vriska sighs. Kanaya doesn't look up at her because Vriska doesn't let her, but she doesn't need her to. There's something about being in Kanaya's head that makes her touch so much more intense, Vriska thinks. She brings Kanaya's hand up to her thigh, not far above where her jeans are currently bunched up, and just the skin-to-skin contact is enough to make her gasp. She takes a ragged breath before Kanaya's hand trails up her thigh. Her nook is so slick with genetic material that she almost doesn't feel it when Kanaya's fingers slip into her mind control or not. She knows exactly the right places to press against, though, twisting and curling Kanaya's fingers inside of herself until she's practically seeing stars. She has to move her hand in Kanaya's hair to her shoulder just to hold herself up. Vriska is whimpering and moaning on practically every breath, her fingers digging into Kanaya's shoulder hard enough to bruise, her grip on Kanaya's mind tightening fiercely like she might be at risk of stopping if left to her own devices. Her knees are wobbling, thighs trembling, and fuck, she really needs something to sit down on. Her legs are going to give out any second now. She's going to fall and hurt Kanaya. She feels strong arms wrapping around her waist. Then she lets out a sigh of relief as she sags back against Terezi, who presses a kiss against her shoulder. She can't focus on gratitude for long, though, because her orgasm is crashing over her a moment later, and she loses everything. Her legs go weak, her hand comes up from Kanaya's shoulder and grabs at the empty air instead. And Kanaya's mind slips out of her grasp before she can think to push away. She jams her eyes shut because just looking at either of her matesprits would be too overstimulating when it feels like all of her nerves are on fire. Kanaya leans back a second too late, and Vriska hears her coughing before she actually sees her, still reeling from one of the most intense orgasms she's ever had. When she can catch her breath and open her eyes, she looks down at Kanaya and grimaces. She might as well have just come out of a recuperacoon for the sheer quantity of slime on her face, although thinking of genetic material as slime makes Vriska a little sick. And there's a mix of teal and cobalt painted across her face that she's sure Terezi would describe as delicious. When it's apparent that Vriska can stand on her own, her legs less wobbly and her breathing less ragged, Terezi gives her a squeeze and then carefully peels away from her. For a moment, Vriska pictures the funny, perhaps even sexy in a certain context, image of Terezi giving their shared mates with a tongue bath to clean her up like some sort of meow beast. But of course, she steps back into her field of vision again a second later with a damp towel in her hands. Vriska watches Terezi clean off Kanaya's face with surprisingly gentle touches, far gentler than she would have thought possible 8 sweeps ago if anyone had asked. She can't help feeling a bit useless. And Lokanaya looks up at her with a face full of concern and murmurs, "Are you all right?" Vriska can't help scoffing an incredulous laugh. "How can you possibly be asking me if I'm okay right now? Are you okay?"
"I'm okay,"
Kanaya answers annoyingly easily. Vriska helps her onto her feet, and Kanaya takes a step toward Vriska. She takes an involuntary step back, not because she's afraid of her, but because she's afraid she might hurt her by accident somehow if she gets too close. Kanaya looks hurt anyway, which makes Vriska's stomach churn with guilt.
"Vriska, it's a very emotionally intense thing, what we just did. Could you please talk to me about how you're feeling?"
Her jaw clenches. There's an awful, prideful part of her that wants to lash out and insist that she's fine. Even if Kanaya and Terezi would just love it if she was torn up about this, there's another far guiltier and more embarrassed part of her that wants to apologize and maybe run away and hide for a while. Taking a slow breath, she manages, "It was tough. I knew you were having a good time, which was mostly enough to keep it sexy. Plus, you're always sexy, especially when you get that fleeting look in your eyes. But it also kind of dragged me back to a dark place, like super dark."
"Eulusis,"
Terezi suggests, and Vriska can't help grimacing. "Yeah," she breathes, because she knows honesty is important, even when it makes her feel vulnerable and weak. Vulnerability is not weakness, she tries to remind herself. That's what Terezi and Kanaya have been trying to get her to internalize for sweeps. It's just, since she died, I've only used my psychic abilities when it's felt like I really had to. I haven't done it just for fun, or because I was trying to inflate my own ego or something, but this was like..." She trails off, struggling to find the right words, and Kanaya says, "Was this not fun?" There's a horrifying amount of guilt in her voice, and Vriska's heart sinks. "No, no, of course it was fun," she rushes to assure, which she's sure doesn't sound genuine at all.
"I think what Vriska is trying to say is that she enjoyed it, but there's a part of her that feels bad for enjoying it,"
Terezi interjects. Vriska could kiss her if she weren't across the room.
"Exactly,"
she agrees.
"It just reminded me of a time where using my power like that, I mean, not exactly like that, but you know what I mean, where that was the only way I didn't feel so small, powerless, defenseless. With you two, I always feel so amazing. It's like I don't even need to have any powers or whatever to be awesome and loved."
"You don't," Kanaya assures immediately. Terezi holds her hand up in a placating gesture, and Kanaya closes her mouth again, pressing her lips.
"You are awesome and loved, regardless of what psychic abilities you do or don't have. But you deserve to love that part of yourself too, Vriska."
She finds her breath catching in her chest. Somehow they always manage to pounce directly on her deepest insecurities in the reddest way possible. Kanaya takes another step forward, and Vriska manages not to step back this time 2 more steps. And Kanaya is right in front of her, pulling her into a crushing embrace.
"I really meant it when I asked if you were okay, fussy fangs,"
Vriska murmurs into her chest.
You're acting like this was only hard and scary for me, but you just LARPed being sexually assaulted."
Somehow that manages to make Kanaya laugh. It takes a second before Kanaya pulls away enough to make eye contact with Vriska,
pulling a hand up to cup her cheek and brushing her thumb against her cheekbone. Frisco lets out a breath, leaning into the touch immediately. "Frisco," Kanaya says, her voice almost painfully gentle. "The only time I was afraid at all was when you weren't holding me anymore. I'm not afraid of you. I know you wouldn't harm me intentionally. And I asked you for this." She lets out a breath, nodding into Kanaya's hand.
I know you did. And I agreed to it, and I thought it'd be fun, that it'd be all fun, and that I wouldn't freak out,"
Teresi says, and Briska shoots her an unamused look.
"If you had told us you wanted to stop, we would have stopped. I didn't want to stop,"
Briska says. She thinks it's true, it feels true, but I
think if we do this again, I might need a little more time to prep.
Teresi shuffles over to the two of them, pressing a kiss against Vriska's shoulder and leaning against her back.
"You can have more time," she mumbles. And Vriska lets out a breath. "We love you. We want you to have a good time. That's all there is to say on the matter."
That manages to get a laugh out of her. And she pulls her head away from Kanaya to lean it against Teresi's instead. "Tam, does that mean the aftercare is over?"
"That means the aftercare is starting,"
Teresi says, and Vriska raises her eyebrows. Teresi leans up to press a couple of kisses against her jaw, and then over to give Kanaya some attention too.
"All three of us could use a shower. And then I'm thinking we can curl up on the couch, watch a movie. Well, you guys will watch."
Vriska rolls her eyes. "You'll be able to smell the screen, weirdo."
"Of course I will, but I'll be too busy snuggling between my girls to notice."
She has to bite her lip against a smile. Kanaya does smile. "That sounds nice," she murmurs. "Yeah, it does," Briska agrees. The Homestuck Fan Author Coalition is a place for authors to write, brainstorm, discuss, and collaborate. Link available in description. The music is Auto Fellatio by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record something for you, get in touch with me on my website, which can be found at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.